Hello there, and welcome to the Heed Army podcast. And if you haven't been here before, it's all about Gated Football Club, what's going on in and around the club and everything else associated. Like the National League situation at the moment, a vote of no confidence has been held today by National League members. We haven't heard anything yet, but I would imagine by the weekend we'll hear some fallout from that. And we'll go a little bit more into depth about what the National League has done after handing out fines and point deductions to teams in and around the National League system. Also as well, we're going to be talking to Mickey Gray, the Gated FC ladies manager, as ladies football is returning this weekend. And also we're going to be speaking to a new signing as well, Jasmine, a decent attempt at second name. We're going to ask her before we try and attempt to say it. I don't want to, you know what I'm like, I'm famous for getting second names badly wrong. But we've got Jasmine, who is from Texas as well, I believe. So I think our first Texan on the show. And also as well, we're going to be speaking to Kane Weirs from the Gated FC Academy. And it'll be interesting to hear about what his role is as well. He's been very excited about coming on to the show. He's probably been the guest that's pestered us the most about coming on. So he's very excited about being a podcast guest. So that's what it's all about. And also as well, it's massively interactive, this show. You can message us the comments. So just a little test comment here. So if you message us on any of the platforms, it will come up like this on the show. And we read out your comments for any of our guests. So that just leaves me to introduce Mickey. Mickey, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Thanks, Davey. Yourself?
More frustrated this week. We'll see, we've got a nice message there from Sam Pellant. Even lads, hope all is well. Welcome to the Heed, Jasmine. Well, remember sending your message for Jasmine when we talked to her. Pardon me. When we talk to her later on. I've just choked because my wife, one second, I've got it here. She got an Easter egg, half an Easter egg filled with, what is it?
Chocolate crispy,
but you put it in the fridge and then handed it to us. And I nearly smashed my teeth before we came on air. So, So if I am a little bit tongue-tied tonight, it's because of that, not just because I can't speak and I'm an idiot.
Blisters in your gob, try and eat it.
It is. Do that. But the National League, they say you have to live under a rock. If you haven't seen the National League, they've made examples of all the teams who refused to play due to safety and costs because we didn't know if the season was going to continue. Dover and the Dover chairman has been very public and did an interview on BBC Radio Kent. We did reach out to Dover to ask if anyone would like to come on because I got a little bit emotional listening to the Dover chairman talking because he tried to save his football club like Gated have done to, you know, secure the club for the future. He did that because the club had the risk of going insolvent. And then they give them a £40,000 fine and 12 points deducted for next season, which effectively puts the club out of business. So how can a league that's supposed to represent and look after its members do that? You know, and I think it's just absolutely disgusting. Of course, Gated have been fined themselves with a fine, but there has been a point deduction, but it's like withheld, isn't it, or something like that. It's not going to happen. But it's just ridiculous. Gated got a fine, but we'd like to know your thoughts and views on that. Please do that, and we'll do that. And we've got a lovely message here. She goes, "That's my baby girl." This was from Jacqueline. It must be Jasmine's mum. She's put there. So proud of you, Jasmine. Well, hopefully we'll be speaking to her very, very soon. And
good evening, Jacqueline, as well.
Yes, good evening all the way there. And we believe you're in Texas, so hello. Just before we start to get guests on and give you time to send in your comments, and remember as well, at the bottom of the screen, you can see like and subscribe. Help us reach more fans here on the Heed Army podcast. That's what it's all about. I did hear from Bernard McWilliams, Gated Vice Chairman, and he said that there will be lots of content for us coming up on the Heed Army podcast. So whatever that means, but fingers crossed, it's good news from the club. And so he didn't give us any clues to what it is. I just said, that's good. We always love content. So, you know, I think in the next few weeks, we'll probably be seeing news coming out of the club as well. So it all very, very good. Right. This is a message from our sponsors and also how to share the show.
Thank you.
Yes, do share the show. And we've got a message from a friend of the podcast, Charles Woff. He's put, "Hi, Dave, Mickey. I cannot wait for the football to start. My camera shutter finger has cramp." of course, club photographer there, Charles Woff. Yeah. So hopefully he'll be maybe able to get down to the ladies' football as well to get his eye back in and take some fantastic action shots, as he always does. And we've got a message from Sam here. "I remember when I said about the tweet from Maidstone owner calling for the resignation of the whole National League board. And I believe the Maidstone, along with Dorking, are the clubs wanting all of the clubs to submit a vote of no confidence in the National League board." If anyone is new to the podcast and knew about anything with Gator Football Club, when we had the previous owners who were not too reputable, should we say, the National League just sat back and did nothing. And they knew all season, we know that they are very slow to act, and then they are very quick to hand out their penalties and fines, as Gates had found out, to their peril of being demoted a league. The National League, without sounding too biased because of a Gator point of view, are not fit for purpose. They certainly aren't. They've known the whole debacle about the funding and loans, even suggesting that clubs take loans to continue the season when it goes against their own rules and legislation for the National League. To put the future of their members at risk just to finish the season is just disgusting. It really is, Mickey. And I know Mickey's trying not to swear repeatedly.
The whole ivory tower the National League's in needs knocking down, and the people burying with it personally, because I think they're absolutely horrendous. We seen from the playoffs last season, shouldn't have went ahead. They should have done points per game, top two promoted, would have saved all the faff on New York and I think it was having Waterlooville arguing about elite sports.
Yeah,
would have stopped all of this. Now they made the rod for their own back. They want clubs, they promised clubs that there'd be extra funding in the form of a grant. That's why the season kicked off. They were hoping that the season would start again in January. There was no obvious, it's plainly obvious, there was no plan B in case it didn't. And then they went to the DCMS, who said, "No, it's not grants, it's loans." Mm-hmm. We got kicked out of the league. You've already said it, dear. We got kicked out of the league because that mad Italian couldn't pay the bills. We're going backwards and forwards to get money out of his bond, what he'd put down for the club, to pay wages and bills, tax bills. We got demoted because of financial, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the word is.
There's irregularities. It goes against, I don't know whether the constitution or the league rules, however you want to say it, but you have to put up a bond before the season to guarantee that you can finish the season under your financial plan. Now, all the clubs went into this season with a financial plan backed up by the grant system that's put in place, and they really went back on that, and they've hung out. pardon me. They've hung out the National League clubs to dry, and it's just an absolute shame. But we'd like to know everyone else's thoughts and views on that. And, well, we have our first guest lined up. She's beat the manager too, coming on, and we've got Jasmine coming on here. So hello there, Jasmine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hello, Jasmine. Nice to speak to you.
Hello. Nice to see you.
Welcome to the club. But how do you pronounce your second name? Because I've been famous for murdering second names on the commentary.
It's pronounced Badio.
Badio.
I was right. Told you, yours a tenner, David. I tell you, it would be Badio.
It's just as well I didn't pronounce it the way I was going to. But Jasmine, welcome to the club. You must be really happy to be able to finally play on the weekend.
I am super excited.
So if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, what position do you play, and how long have you been playing, and how did your journey bring you to Gateshead?
I've been playing for a while. I'd probably say I've been playing since I was about 5. And then ever since then, it's just gained up from there. But I am super excited to start with Gateshead, to start an opportunity, hopefully develop as a player and have some new teammates. So I'm super excited about that and super excited to play again. It's been a while, so can't wait to get started.
Ah, fantastic. And so are you in the Northeast studying?
Yes.
Yeah. So how did that come about to find yourself all the way here? From
I actually got an opportunity to play here for the Northumbria team, the second team. So that's the reason why I came out here and also partnered with I2I, International Academy. It's a new soccer program for girls. So that's the reason I'm out here, and also for Gateshead. Got the opportunity to play here. So that's super exciting.
I've actually found
me still shivering.
Yeah, the weather's been cold here too. I'm not used to the weather.
Yeah, well, today was
you're getting used to it.
Yeah, so today was nice for us, wasn't it? It's like at home, but we've got an action shot of you here playing. We quickly got that before we came on air. But obviously, how long have you been in the Northeast? Because this year has been not normal at all, has it?
I actually got here in September, and I've been here ever since. So. Yeah. I've been left.
How have you been finding it? Because obviously it's not like normal life that you would be able to have here. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that'll happen soon. But to be that distance from home and the way things have been must have been a struggle.
Yeah, I mean, back in Texas where I'm from, everything's kind of open every now and then. So when I first came here, it was kind of a big change. Everything was closed. But I'm glad I had my flatmates, so we've just been getting along, and then we go run every now and then and work out and play around just to get active and stay active. But the experience has been nice so far. I just wish everything was open.
Well, fingers crossed in the next 6 weeks it will be, and well, compared to now, at least you'll be able to eat out and dine out and experience the town and the Northeast in general. But how have you found it since you've arrived here? Have you been able to explore much?
Actually, I've explored a lot. I've been to a lot of places, actually. I've been to Angel of the North. That was actually pretty cool. I've been to a lot of the beaches. I'm trying to think of what else I've been to. Before lockdown was closed, I went to a couple of restaurants, some really good Korean ones. Those were really good. And went to the clubs. Those were fun. Got to experience it a little bit. That was good. That's really it. I can say that's all I've really been able to see. And I went to Durham. I've seen Durham. That's about it. Yeah.
Hopefully when everything starts to open up, you're going to get to explore a bit more of the Northeast and experience it, because it's a beautiful place when it's it's a bit dark and dingy at the moment, although today was nice. But Mickey, have you got any questions?
I have. Are you looking forward to getting out on the drink with your teammates?
They've been messaging me every now and then, so to hang out. So hopefully soon we'll hang out, and I'm super excited to meet all of them and get along with them as well. So I'm excited for that.
If you can't get along with any of them, there's something wrong with you, Jasmine. Honestly.
Yeah, be careful with Dion though. We've had her on the show many times, and she's a bit of a loose cannon.
Yeah, Dion's pretty funny. I've met her before. Also, met Olivia. She's pretty cool too. I get along with those two girls.
Ah, fantastic. And so what are you actually studying at Northumbria?
Right now I'm studying sports and exercise science. So hopefully want to become an athletic trainer. That's my goal for now.
Amazing. So if we've got any sports injuries, come and look you up.
Yeah, come to me. I should be able to help you.
Just by looking on the camera, you can tell we're not really athletic, so the chances of that.
just to come put my socks on.
I'm actually pretty clumsy myself too, so I hurt myself a lot.
Well, David Telford, who takes photos at GFC Ladies, who's put, welcome, Jasmine, looking forward to Sunday, and you slotting a few goals on your debut. So he's putting a bit of pressure on you. We're just dying for football, so it's nice that the ladies' football is back. Of course, obviously, it's behind closed doors, but there'll be hopefully video footage of that. And we just wish you all the best for the future. And we can't wait to see you play in the flesh and talk to you again soon in the future.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you, Jasmine.
Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
There we go, Jasmine there. Fantastic to talk to her there. And hopefully she gets to experience the Northeast in its full glory coming up. Because it is a beautiful place to be. And I say it must be a real kick in the teeth when you're not being able to explore properly and experience everything as it goes.
It must be harsh, especially you've travelled half a world away and you come over here and you can't do anything. What a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. It's bad enough when you live here and you kind of get out, but if you're living far away from home as well. But thankfully, Jasmine's been
it's
able
as if you could pop home to the States and go for a dinner with a mum and dad, is it?
No, I know, but especially though in Texas, nearly everything's open like normal. It's one of the, I think, Florida and Texas are one of the few states that are actually open, more or less like normal. I think sporting events have a restricted attendance, but, you know, it'd be nice to be able to do that, wouldn't it?
No, it's all that moonshine they drink.
I think that's in different places. I think it's more whiskey in Texas. But fantastic to speak to Jasmine. We're going to be speaking to Mickey Gray soon as well. And also we've got Kane Weirs coming up. And remember, keep sending in those messages. And also as well, if anyone wants to update us on the England score, because I completely forgot that the England game was on before we came on air, and I realised, and I thought, oh no, everyone's going to be watching that, but we've got good we've got good viewing figures here at the moment, so we do thank everyone for coming on, and a massive thank you to Jasmine as well, who seems to be really relishing the game on Sunday.
Right. Ones each. Ones each, England, Poland.
This is
5 minutes gone.
This is where the real action has happened. We know that. This is where the excitement is. And, we're going to play a little advert here from Sporting Icons. They have their James Curtis hat available. I know it's probably a bit warm today to wear it, but if you still fancy one.
Coming out the weekend, Davey.
I know. Well, there you go. Ooh, going to be cold on Sunday. But if you want a hat.
Oh, well, I've just thought, what?
Well, there you go. Mickey Gray just joins us as we play the advert. And sorry, I cut you
off.
Hello,
Hudson.
Oh, fellas, how you doing?
He was talking
to me.
Not
too bad. I've missed you loads, Lee. Your rifle sights are up, Mickey.
Mickey, you must be dying to get out there on the touchline on Sunday.
Yeah, I can't wait. Obviously, really looking forward to getting back. Can't wait for tomorrow night, to be honest, when we're back training and just seeing everybody back together and ready to go. The lasses are absolutely raring. So, yeah, travelling away from home on Sunday and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be really good to get back out there on the pitch and see. Obviously, you've got the training tomorrow and you've got the two new girls coming in as well. It was signed just before the football was stopped. And, well, I tell you what, you must be the ladies' football Harry Redknapp, because in the transfer market, you snapped up two international players.
I'm always one for having my elbow out the side of the car and trying to get a deal done. Yeah.
That's
called curb crawling, mate.
Swiftly moving on.
Yeah, to be honest, obviously, like you've heard from Jazz there herself, she can't wait to get going. And I can't wait to have her out on the pitch in a heat shirt. I think she's really going to sort of notch everything up even further than what it's already been this season. She's obviously dying to get playing. And as with everybody else, you know, they're exactly the same, but For a new player like you've already said to come in and make the travel and be sort of isolated in a different country and for it to be raring to go and meeting our teammates tomorrow properly. She's already met me, but meeting our teammates.
What so?
Yeah, we're all desperate. We all cannot wait.
And obviously the season is back on. We didn't know if it was going to start again. Will there be more than one fixture a week now, or what's the deadline for finishing the season? Because obviously we've had this delayed period due to obviously the COVID restrictions.
Yeah, so obviously similar to the men's league where it went to a vote, each club and each team got a vote on how they thought the season should be finished. Thankfully for ourselves, obviously it was a majority vote that we should continue, and the rules now stipulate that each team has to play each other just the once rather than twice. So we'll finish the season obviously fairly, having known that we've played each team once, which I think leaves us with six games remaining, which is a similar sort of situation to what we were before. To be honest, we'll play Sunday till about the end of May, I believe. All but one of them will be away games, and hopefully when we're back with that home game, it's in a position where the rules change a little bit more, so fans are hopefully allowed back into to watch with.
Yeah, fingers crossed that would be the way to, well, say with no pressure, but hopefully maybe achieve something at the end of the season.
Well, of course, yeah, that's always been the goal from day one. We wanted to make sure that we set our stall out early doors and showed everybody what we're capable of. Obviously, we've had it probably the strangest season any football club could ever imagine, and for that to be in our maiden season, where we're stop-start, really just shows what characters we've got to be getting back onto the pitch and ready to hopefully push for the end of the season.
Yeah.
And again, there's no cup. The cup's been null and void, I take.
No, to be honest, mate, I think the cup's exactly the same, but I think it's going to take sort of a backseat to make sure that they can finish the season. So I believe it. We'll face the winner of Liam and Darlington, I think, with their game having not gone ahead before Christmas, obviously where you played Lumley, and we beat them to get into the next round. But I believe that it's the winner of them that we'll face. Hopefully, fingers crossed, if we can get the season done and dusted, then we can continue in the cup as well.
That'd be good.
It certainly would. And obviously it's been a real tedious time without any football. As I say, how have you kept yourself busy then? Have you just been thinking about new ways or training methods you want to do when you get back? Or
before he answers, can I come in?
Yeah.
He's been moaning about Steve Bruce and the tune every bloody time they play. That's what he's been doing.
Want to be careful, you're not going to find the Newcastle ladies if you do that.
No, to be fair, obviously any type of football, if it's on, I'll watch it. Unfortunately, I am a Newcastle fan, so I've had to be put up with that rubbish for far too long now. But yeah, I'll watch anything. I'll watch all football, and I always think the best sort of coaches get tips and hints from anywhere. So whether it's tactics or formations or styles of play and anything like that, I think it's a good skill to have to be able to look, whether that's professional football, semi-professional football, to really sort of add another string to your bow to take them little hints and tips from other teams and managers.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is.
So what's in the training tomorrow? Is it just a game of football? Just get them playing football again, or are you going to do some coaching?
Yeah, well, obviously, it'll be getting Jazz in and introducing her to the rest of the lasses that she's not already met. It'll be the usual warm-up and stretch, and then, yeah, it might be a game of football, or it might be the bleep test. I don't know, I'll keep them on their toes.
Oh, the bleep test. The only beep test I like is when the microwave's gone off.
He runs faster than anyone else when it goes as well.
Yeah, I'm only joking because I know a couple of them will be watching and they'll not turn up tomorrow if I say that.
I wasn't either.
Yeah. Oh man, but
The beep test, mind. Have you tried it yourself, Michael?
Oh yeah. I'm no good at it, to be perfectly honest. But it'll not be a beep test. We'll chance to just play a game between ourselves and get to know how we're playing and things like that. It'll not be anything too strenuous.
Yeah. And obviously, like I say, it's just been one of them times where you say you've been watching a lot of football. Has there been any of the ladies' football that you've been watching? Because obviously that's back on now, isn't it, as well, at the elite level. It didn't stop. And we've got obviously the Champions League games and the Premier League as well. Have you been taking in any of that?
Yeah. And normally when it's on and sort of televised or on the social media pages, I'll watch a Durham game. I'll try and watch as many of them as I can. Obviously, I'll get it on when it's on the telly as well. I'll watch the women's football. A lot of the time, to be perfectly honest, if the women's football's on the telly and the men's game's on at the same time, I'll often pick, obviously, if it's not a Newcastle game, I'd often pick to watch the Chelsea's or the Man City's and see, like I say, exactly what sort of thing they're looking at tactics wise and formations and try and learn.
Yeah, well, I've heard there's a player available. I've seen Charlotte.
I was just about to say that.
I'm sure if I buy a Snickers, Mickey buys a packet of Watsits, and you get a can of Diet Coke, I'm sure we could say no.
Who are we getting?
Charlotte Potts. Just be released from Hibs.
We hope that she she'll find another club very soon, I'm very sure. But you never know if
we're on the touchline with Mickey, should be his number two. In fact, I shouldn't really tell you this, but Mickey, after Sunday, you're gone. Charlotte's in charge.
He's horrible, man, isn't he? He's horrible. Mickey the boatman is horrible and horrible people, but
Mickey knows I didn't mean it.
we wish you all the best, as we always do, and hopefully, as I say, the rules might change towards the last few games of the season, and who knows, we might see a little bit of silverware and a promotion, fingers crossed. And we wish you all the best, and look forward to seeing what Jasmine can do with the bunch of girls, great bunch of girls that you've already got.
It's obviously going to, hopefully, fingers crossed, like you say, going to leave us in a position where when we can hopefully get fans back, we're still right at the top of that tree and looking to cement it.
Yep,
definitely. Are we going up, Mickey?
I hope so, Mick. You know, I'll always have that sort of cliched manager's point of view where it's always the next game and that sort of thing, but yeah, I think I finally believe that we've got enough in the locker to be able to get warm this season, of course.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I meant if we finish top, I were going up, but
yeah,
honesty.
Is promotion still on the table? If obviously, we forgot to ask that. Obviously, we know the season can be fulfilled, but with it not being the full quota of fixtures, is there still promotion available for teams if they win the league?
Yeah. Everything other than the games played is exactly the same. So, if we do finish top of the tree, then hopefully, the promotion pool is still available for us to go up.
Oh well, fantastic.
Well, who we got in the next league? Is it Burtley and them or Burtley Leam?
Yeah. Obviously, the whole point of our pre-season, with our first pre-season, was to test ourselves against them sort of team. So, yeah, it's Sunderland West End. Not Sunderland West End. I tell a lie. Gateshead Rutherford, who we played in a friendly. Liam, who obviously Amber's back with. Burtley and the likes. So, yeah, we'll look forward to it, hopefully.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. It will be great. And just before we let go, we're going to give you full screen so everyone can see that beautiful mush. Isn't
he? He normally turns the light on me.
I know. Cheers, Mickey.
You take care, Mick. Nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Before I go, I tell you what, I done me hair the other week. And I've been out in the sun today, and it's absolutely killing. Absolutely
I'm the same. Look at that. I can't be old. I'm going. I shaved it all off.
I'm not taking my hat off because I'll make these two look like the wolf man.
Well, look. On the baldness front, whoa, look at that. If anyone want to know what Casey Keller looked like with alopecia, there you go.
Bye, Mickey. See you later. Take care, Mick.
There we go. And say fantastic to talk to Jasmine and Mickey from JFC Ladies. And they're sitting top of the league at the moment. Hopefully they can continue in the vein of form where they left off. And so it's still lots of time to go. We've got about half an hour left. We've got Kane Weirs joining us in about 15 minutes to tell us about his role at the academy. But say we'll get back to where we were talking about the National League situation. If anyone wants to send any messages about that, I'm just going to put up on screen here. This is the tweet. If anyone would like to go to that and follow the link, so if you go to Dover Athletic, it's probably about the fourth or fifth tweet down on their Twitter feed. Click on it and listen to it. We didn't want to play it out for copyright reasons, but if you just listen to the passion from Jim Parmenter and listen to the information that's brought there. Remember, he was on the National League board at the beginning of this season, and he stepped down because of the rule breaches of what he seen was going on from the National League board. So that's one of the big things to remember from that. And he also said that the certain teams have furloughed high-paying players and brought in players on very low wages, which is against the furlough rules. So there's a can of worms going to be opened for a few clubs, and if they've broken financial rules with the government, then surely that's breaking financial rules with the league. So I think this is far from over. Then if you are just joining us, there is a vote of no confidence going on at the moment between the it's members of the
that's for sure.
If only we could vote 100 times, Mickey would get it through, but you know, we're in a situation now where it's crap or bust for the National League. They either have to stand up and be counted, or there has to be wide-scale changes to the way the National League is run, or the way the structure of the board is. Because, as I say, at this moment in time, what we get from the National League is they're very happy to have a BT deal for TV rights, and they have a once-a-year jolly up at a very famous golf club. And we don't hear anything else from the National League unless they're fining somebody. Now, I might be doing...
You're being a bit unfair there.
That's what I'm saying. I might be doing a bit of an injustice, but on the face of it, that's what we get. And at the moment, they've dragged their heels, and we know for a fact they knew 6 to 8 weeks before that there wasn't going to be any more financial help, and they sat there and did nothing. So, you know...
Dave, I was going to say they have two jolly ups because they have the playoff final.
Sorry, forgot about that jolly up.
Yeah. And the supply of the programs, remember, for the two semi-finals. Well, they used to. I don't know if they still do. Where they get £1 per program sold.
Yeah.
Plus a cut of the gate. So.
It's more than
one bloody jolly up.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot more going on for the National League at the moment than what there is for the clubs. And, I think we're going to see ramifications for this for months rumbling on. And
on podcast, probably.
Yeah, probably, yeah. And, let's hope they aren't watching or listening, because if we make it to a playoff final, they'll see you're not commentating.
They probably heard it, Dave. They probably wouldn't anyway.
I just take that solitary tear away there. I'll cry later on.
No, it's honest.
But I do recommend to anybody, please, I'm going to retweet that tweet, because I did email the press officer at Dover, and I'm sure they're absolutely flooded with things at the moment to see if we can speak to somebody from the club, because they are the whipping boys in this round of punishments, over £100,000 in fines going out with numerous point deductions handed out. I think our point deduction is suspended along with all the other ones in the National League North and South. they have definitely have a 12-point deduction next season before the appeal, which I said they are going to appeal. They're not going to pay that fine. And I hope they win, and I hope they win with a lot of dignity, because I think whatever the case, they're going to come out with dignity on this and the National League can't.
Dave, I put a tweet up the other day. I don't wish Dover to get relegated. I've got no bad intentions towards Dover, but the simplest thing to do with them is to drop them in the conference in the National League South. They're a team short there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now one go down, one comes down from the Football League, so that fills the complement there. Just if they have to fine them for not, it's incredible. Just relegate them down, giving them a £40,000 fine and a 12-point deduction. Puts them under the thumb before they even start, Davey. And they're supposed to be helping. This is the bloody people that run the league.
Well, as I said, the title of this, you might govern us, but you don't represent us. And I think that's very fair right across the board. They do not represent these teams. They govern us. And it's their way or the highway, which, of course, if you're a member of any league, that is the way. But they are not doing a duty of care. They're not looking after the clubs. And, I mean, look at this. I mean, just for an example, they let us start the season without testing, whereas Premier League clubs were getting tested three times a week before they could even go on the pitch. And likes of Blyth Spartans, Darlington, York, we fell foul to it. Teams were popping multiple times for COVID and not being able to fulfil the fixtures. And then they turn around and say, right, we're going to fine you for not wanting to go onto the pitch when COVID was at its peak at that time in this country. And how does that work? How does that work? You want the players
to vote? What happened? You went on, it happened, can you remember the Sunday league game? There was about 300 people there, and more than two-thirds who were there, including the players, all ended up with COVID.
Yeah.
They end up paying knee COVID things, blah, blah, blah. What happens? This is probably the worst case scenario. A player from each team pass away due to COVID symptoms, a referee guns down. Who's responsible for that?
Exactly. And I know someone will say, well, they did offer it to get the league back going, but that was an afterthought. Everything seems to be an afterthought with the National League at the moment. They clamber to try and do things when it's too late. And, I think I'm not going to say it's a beautiful thing that the clubs are voting for no confidence, because that just, it devalues the level somewhat. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it, but, it's made this level look farcical to what it should be, that we're having to vote no confidence on a national league. I don't know, it's national league in name, but it governs a league that is national. Mm-hmm. And it is just a joke. It is a joke. And for them to be the way it went on, but for the clubs to be uniting, that they are, that we always joke on, not joke on, say football family. And at the moment, there truly is one. And I hope there can be a lot of things learned. But there's also, on the flip side of that, there's going to be a lot of resentment to the teams of the haves and have nots, because there's a lot of people who won't forget. I mean, just today, for instance, how much in agent fees do you think Fylde United have paid in the last season or two seasons?
I wouldn't have a clue.
£120,000. In agent fees.
Dave, I would imagine there'd be a lot of clubs who've got agent fees, like.
There is. Big and small. I'll see if I can find the tweet here just while we're on. It was put out today. Now, it'll be a good reference to show you the haves and the have-nots in this. And this is not a slur on anyone. You should be able to, if you've got the money, you can spend it. But this is what we're dealing with clubs that want to get straight back up. Must be with Ollie Bayliss. I'll see if I can get on his page. 1 second. Ollie Bayliss, here we are. Here we are. 1 second. This is paid to agents. Oh, sorry. I must have been the collective thing was 100, 200 odd thousand. So they paid 18,000 from February to February. So apologies for getting the figures wrong there. It was I think it must have been the National League. One of the teams paid 120,000 because I knew it was at the top. So there you go. You've got AFC Fylde paid 18 grand in agent fees, Hartlepool 14 grand, Guiseley 450. You'd imagine that's just one deal. Gated on there. South Shields, paid 2,400. Stockport County, yes, they're a big club. They're aiming to get back to the Football League. 46,000 in agents' fees. 57,000 from Notts County, of course, a big club with parachute payments, trying to get back to the Football League. So, you know, we're talking about these are the clubs that have, you know, tried to force the hand of the little clubs to carry on playing and then had a bit of a pop online. There is going to be resentment around the league. And if Fylde have furloughed their players, fair enough, they take advantage of what the rules are, they're not playing. But then you've got teams that are paying X amount of money. They want to get up. Remember, there is two sides to this coin. It's not just about Gateshead and the likes of Blythe Spartans and Darlington, Ashton United, Curzon Ashton, the teams that can't do it. There is the teams that could do it, and you can understand why they wanted to just get promoted. But there's going to be the way some things were portrayed in the media and comments made by certain chairmen, there is going to be resentment. And if they, God forbid, I don't want to see any club get into financial problems, but if they go into financial problems, that there's not going to be much of the football family that disappointed in it at times, you know, that cynic in people. Because I'll be honest, I wouldn't, if I seen they went a little bit, or one of them teams, not going to nail any team to the mast, I wouldn't be too upset if one of them teams went financially when not trying to make teams play that didn't have the money.
Well, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, to be honest, just for the fans. I'm a football fan. Yeah.
I know I went round the doors to get there, but...
To be honest, David, we nearly had the same thing here. Well, we had the same thing in the playoffs last year. I hate to point them out, but York were the big movers and shakers in the elite sports thing. They argued it well, to be fair. But if they just promoted the National League had promoted the top two, the National League North last season, none of this hassle would have been coming on about elite sports.
And of course, with York as well, their financial figures, they've lost 2 million. So you can see why they were wanting to get back up to get bigger crowds. You know, football's in a real tipping point at the moment for a lot of clubs, and especially at this level. And I'm glad the right decision was made to stop the season for, you know, the majority of the clubs that couldn't make ourselves.
It's just the aftermath, David. It leaves a bitter taste in the mouth. It's like the National League, the revolution's over now. They're calling all the ringleaders up and slapping them with a fine. That's what it feels like to me.
Well, if just looking at the Dover chairman, he was very vocal. He said that they were going against their own rules, and he's what was on the board. He leaves the board and then gets the biggest fine and a deduction for next season. So the cynic in you will go, yeah, maybe they've went after the ringleaders, you know. So,
I mean, I heard on the radio the other day, sorry to cut across you again, Dave. No. Someone was saying that there's a fair few in the National League or the chairman are dead against what Dover's doing. Now, they want them slapped with a fine because they've incurring more money by moving on and playing the games and Dover aren't. Yeah. That's where I think the fine might be. It's like to put them behind the eight ball because obviously the other clubs are spending a fortune to continue playing.
This is the thing, that there's two sides to everything, isn't there? You know what I mean? And that's why when I started on going down one route and I said the haves and the have-nots, but you've got to remember, if they want to play the season and then one club's doing that. But the Dover chairman, if I was to say, we did put up that link before, if anyone would like to go and listen to it at Dover, you will find that a lot of these clubs that are still want to continue playing have furloughed their star players and are brought in players and paying them £200 to play in the same position. Well, that's against the furlough rules. If you're furloughing your striker that can't play as a striker, why bring in another person? If you were a plumber and you've got a plumber for £750 a week, I'll furlough him and bring in someone for £150 a week to do his job. Well, that's against the furlough rules. And that's what is, well, according to the Dover chairman, this is happening around the National League at the moment. So,
well, if that's the case, then you would imagine them players, even though they're semi-professional class stars, some are full-time professional in the National League, most are, in fact, in the National League North and South. Surely they should be, if they're getting furloughed and someone's brought in, then surely the PFA should be involved.
you would think. As I say, I think there's going to be a lot of, this is going to rumble on for a long time. We're not experts. We're just trying to give our thoughts and views on it. And anyone else got theirs, please do send them in. And someone's put, Dave, how do you get a picture of my bedroom in my house in Denton Burn? So it must be the view he's got from his house.
Oh, right.
This is just a Hilton hotel bedroom photo. I'm not actually in the Hilton. It's illegal to be in a hotel at the moment. But there we go. We've got
Charlie Kane lives on the top of it.
Taking photos all the time. We've got Kane Weirs just about to join us. We're going to play a quick message from our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll be speaking to Kane. So I'll just get this up. Hello there, Kane. Welcome to the Heat Army podcast.
Evening. How are you, boy?
Not too bad. All a bit of a seen you, Kane.
Nice to see you. It's nice to be on. I was just giggling away there at the last comment from Charles. I had to try and compose myself, to be honest. But yes, football's hopefully coming back soon, isn't it?
Hopefully. Yeah.
Fingers crossed, mate.
Well, it's the first time we've been able to speak to you. Welcome to the club. There was obviously announcement made about 2 weeks ago now, and you have a new role in the club, the one that we don't seem to have had before. So just want to introduce yourself and what your role is in the academy.
Yeah, so I probably have about three roles now within the club. Obviously, I first came in in September to come and support the scholars and coach the scholars, the under-18s that we have linked in with Gateshead College, with a superb staff that are already involved there. And then I've came in as now the academy manager for the 7s to 16, so that's going to be something new again. And I know, David, I think I was speaking to you before, it came out and trying to get some help, just finding a bit more of the club, like find out as much as what I can about the club. And then the head of recruitment as well, head of first team recruitment. So that'll be supporting and Mike and Busted to support and bringing in players that match the philosophy of the club. And bringing in players that ultimately the fans want to see on the pitch and hopefully it'll help we'll push up in the league.
Yeah, and there was obviously a lot of people that like to get on the keyboards and be the warriors. People obviously a club of our size and trying to grow and having the academy side there, and people want to know what head of recruitment was. So are you a person that identifies people and Mike has the final say, and also does he send you to go and look at certain players?
Yeah, so the relationship already has been superb. And my job, and I know I've seen some of the comments, my job is not to pick the players. That's definitely not it. That's Mike and Busted's job. My job is to try and give Mike and Busted the best players available for them and ultimately for the club. So with my experience, obviously, I'm coming in from Preston North End where I was the recruitment coordinator there. So I've got experience in recruitment and that's my background. So I have a lot of contacts in the game. So my job is then sitting down with Mike and Busted in our recruitment meetings that we have. And if we identify positions that we think we need to improve in, one, do they have the right character and mindset for the club? And then two, do they fit how we want to play? Then that's my job to travel around, get out and see them and identify the players and then put something together to Mike and Busted.
Fantastic. And also as well, something we haven't actually mentioned, of course Danny Greenfield went on trial at Sunderland for two games, and I got to watch one of the games live on YouTube, and he didn't look out of place, didn't see the second game, but he had a few shots on target and was instrumental in some build-up play. But Nelson Ogbui has been noticed in a trial game, behind closed doors friendly against Sunderland, scored and caught the eye of Sunderland, and he starts his trial tomorrow, a two-week trial. Of course, we had him on the podcast the other week, but you know, of course, the academy is only just starting, but to have somebody already in the ranks catching the eye that's played for the under-19s and the reserves, it's got to be a shot in the arm for when you're recruiting players in the future.
And I think that's the big thing, and you'll know more than anyone. If you have a look at the previous record of the club, the players that we've had in, and we've allowed them to move forwards and take a step up the leagues, that's what we've got to be able to support the players in doing. So I think that's a big sell. I was with Nelson today. The under-18s had a game earlier today against Sunderland's Foundation of Light. And Nelson was there. He wasn't playing. Obviously, he's preparing for tomorrow. And you could see the excitement on his face. They were travelling away to Reading. And I just think it's a great opportunity. And I think we speak about the clubs in the area. There's, yes, Newcastle, Middlesbrough, Sunderland. But let's be really clear. The Northern League and the National League up here are so strong because there's only been those sort of three clubs as such. And there's, if you win the North West or if you win London, they'd all be in pro clubs. So I think it's the chance now for Gator to really, really be able to go and give these lads an opportunity, because some of the lads, we've got a superb set of lads both in there already and around the North East. So if we can play our part in trying to give them an opportunity, it can only support the club, can't it, and help the club.
And also as well, I mean, whether Nelson or Danny Greenfield get the opportunity of being offered something and there's a transfer fee organised or whatever and both parties are happy, regardless of anything happening, the experience that these lads are getting playing against, as I say, that Connor Wickham played against Danny Greenfield in the, you know, playing against Premiership class players in these reserve games and players on the fringes of team Premier League and Championship teams, they can only learn from that and bring that experience back to Gateshead if something doesn't flourish on that side. But it can only help Gateshead either way.
And you look at Nelson, and Nelson will thrive off it. I obviously got to watch him, I think it was last week, the week before, on the podcast, and you could see how happy he was. I seen Danny at training, I think it was yesterday or the day before. And I watched him open up and ping an unbelievable pass in a training game to be able to go and score a goal. So he's probably came back from that experience and learnt a lot. The standard, the tempo, it'll quicken you up. You've got to move the ball that bit quicker or someone's going to hit you with a tackle. So like you say, and I think it shows where the club's at, to be honest, that players are getting noticed. And there could be more, couldn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that the benefits of it, even if a transfer doesn't happen or you know, something like that. But obviously, we spoke to Nelson, and we know he's a you know, he's a real raw diamond at the moment. But it can only help his game IQ as well, playing against players like that, playing with players. He said himself on the podcast, he's got to learn how to play against men, and with us not playing league games until, you know, for another 4 or 5 months, then it's really got to help him. Having this chance to be in amongst it, you know, competitively.
And like you say there, you've just hit the nail on the head. The difference between playing a junior football to men's football, there's some shock. And especially for Nelson, who's a big lad, he's a powerhouse. How's he going to take to being potentially one of the biggest players at his own age group and then going to senior football? And you go, oh, I'm fire, maybe I'm not here. But there's other players. You have a look in it. I looked at the under-18s today, a centre forward called Eddie, who's in the squad. He's a big lad. Love to see him go and play some men's football because he puts himself about. He's a good lad, really gets in some good positions. So I think, like you say, it's trying to just give the lads the opportunities, but also working with other clubs in the area, isn't it, with things like loans and stuff.
Yeah. And that's what I was just about to come on to, loan things. Obviously, we've got these young lads that you want to help progress. Maybe they're not in line to be anywhere near the first team, obviously train with the first team, but we've got teams and player, young managers in the Northeast, to pick out Morpeth, for example. Stephen Turnbull's up there, player that's played at a very good level, played a very good football. And, you know, to send players out to... Places like that at a good level must be fantastic to have on the doorstep to potentially tap those you know, places.
Even look, there's a young lad, Ryan Bolton, who's, I think he was playing for West Allotment tonight. Great experience getting there in the Northern League and go and see how it is. There's a number of different lads in there. I think it's exciting for the 19s that are coming in next year into the Scorers, because you've got some experience with Clarkey, you've got Patter there, you've got Mark Spencer, who's came in now, who was the academy manager at York, who I've learned so much from his time being in there. So I think there's an opportunity for the younger lads to go out, because look at some of the clubs, and you could say Wickham, like you say, there's Morpeth, there's Whitley Bay, there's North Shields, there's a number of clubs around the area. Concert, I don't want to miss any and upset anyone.
Of course. I mean, but as I said, at the moment as well, the North East Non-League football seeing a bit of a boom, a bit of a trickle-down effect, because we've had the automatic promotion from the Northern League now, or, well, compulsory promotion. So you've got Dunstan as well playing at a better level. obviously in South Shields, Morpeth, if you've got also as well a little bit further down the road as well, there's a few Teesside clubs as well that have took the step up. And, you know, to have that many players playing at that level now in the Northeast opens up everything for everyone, because players are playing at a better level and there's a better chance to look at players playing at a better level as well, rather than taking a punt on someone from the Northern League and going, okay, well, maybe they're not up to it and we've already signed them.
And to be fair, you have a look at it and look at Gateshead, look at the stadium they're playing, look at the facilities they have. Some of the facilities are better than some of the Football League clubs. They are. And I just think you've got Mike and Buster there with the experience that they've got. You've got Pata, you've got Clark, you've got Mark there, who the experience they have. And I just think that, and it's credit to Neil and to Bernard and everyone involved, that the direction they're taking in the club, and I think actually, Dave, you mentioned it a few weeks ago, it's the long-term sustainability of the club, where actually you look and go, especially with what's happened in the past, and actually on a recruitment point of view, I shouldn't be having in my office on like a whiteboard or whatever, players from different clubs. It should be, who's the under-15s right back coming through? Who's the under-18s left winger, right? Mm-hmm. Left winger's injured in the first team. Can the 18s or 19s one step up? And we should be recruiting from within, who understand the club, know the area, and can be relatable to the fans as well when they see them on the pitch. Because that's a massive thing, isn't it?
Certainly.
Oh, definitely. Every fan loves a homegrown player. Every fan.
And Mickey, 111 on the pitch that are all local lads, will go out and run out for the badge, work hard. And you know, hey, you might get the results sometimes, but you know they'll go and work hard for you, won't they?
And also as well, the
you do need the experience at the same time as well.
You know, definitely. But just to, obviously now at the moment, we've had two players out on trial at a team that could potentially be a championship club next year, the way they're playing, they're in contention for promotion. And to have a club of that, of Sunderland size, let's take all rivalries out of the way, because we know Newcastle fans listening, oh, that rubbish. But to have a bigger club looking at Gateshead's two players and going, well, we fancy having a look at them, let's have a proper 2-week look at them, it shows you Gateshead's doing it in the right way. And also as well, yes, we want to develop players to come into the team. Of course, that's great. But if Gitter can, you know, sell a player on for where the deal works for both parties and it doesn't stop the player from moving up higher up in the level, it can only be a good thing for the club financially as well in the long-term future.
You think about it, the financial side, and we don't need to talk about the past on it, it's massive, isn't it? And if we can do anything to have that stability within the club, mm-hmm. where going forwards, we're not needing to worry about this happening or this happening. It's massive. And I think a compliment to the players, isn't it? Where if you're doing contracts and stuff like that, you can add them in, because you have a look at the list of players that have came from the club, and there's the likes of John Mellish and stuff like that who have moved up, and I see them every week. It's such and such a scored in League One or such and such a scored in League Two. It's superb. If we can continue to benefit from that long term, we only help the club, can't it?
I mean, it sells
the club itself.
Mm-hmm.
So especially to a young 15, 16-year-old kid who's maybe dropped out of Newcastle's academy. Mm-hmm. And
on the flip side, isn't it, if then suddenly any players want to prove themselves and want to potentially come into the club and maybe have played at a level before and go, nah, do you know what, I might come in and I'm going to work hard, they know they'll get noticed.
Yeah,
and if they work hard, they'll get the opportunity.
I mean, obviously, over the last 30 years, Crew, I know at the minute there's a few other things going on to say, but they... No, I'm just saying that their development system over the years developed a lot of players that dropped down from Liverpool, Everton, surrounding areas in Lancashire, and they developed players, sold them on, and that kept Crew going for many years and still does. They had a production line of academy players that played a season or two in the first team and then have went on to bigger and better things. So, you know, it's the model that everyone wants, isn't it, at a lower level. You want to be able to, yes, produce the players, but also help sustain the club.
And you look at Danny, for example. If Danny goes to Sunderland, what an unbelievable opportunity it is for him. And you would shake his hand and everyone we know would wish him well. But then on the flip side is, if it doesn't work out for him, then we have a player in our club that was potentially good enough for a team that could be going to the Championship.
Well, not only that, if Sunderland are looking at him...
Probably want more money, though.
That's the first thing, isn't it? If we look at Sedwin Scott at Heaven, he went on trial at Newcastle United, then went to, I think there was Brentford even looked at him as well, I may be wrong, and then obviously he's won a contract at Carlisle. You know yourself as a scout, you're not going to be the only scout looking at one player, are you?
No. Yeah. And that's the circle that you get into, and you know that. And to be fair, and just before this, we're on a scouts meeting thing where loads of them from around the country and around the world, we all get on and we all help each other and support each other. And I think that's where I think you look at the area, like Newcastle, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, that's the relationship we have to have with them, that we want to work with them. Ultimately, that's how it goes. And if there's players that maybe aren't good enough for Newcastle, or maybe they don't know, can we try and help in any way? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the relationship, doesn't it? And vice versa, that if anyone wants to move to those clubs,
Also as well, players develop at different times. Danny, he's been the build he is for the past couple of years, but he's developed into his body and learned how to play. He's a shorter player in midfield, of course, but he's learned his trade and developed his skills to make himself stand out. And that could be like we've had that with a few players from Newcastle United that have dropped down, like the likes of Phil Cave, obviously not claimed as good enough for the Premier League or Football League, but had a fantastic career with Gateshead and obviously at Livingston as well. So it's just one of them things. It's just who develops at what time and which club can benefit and help them develop.
You have a look at the club, and even we've got Elliot Forbes in there that's from the academy and coming through, and it's great to see Elliot getting back and hopefully going to get some minutes on the pitch again. Yeah. There's Kieran Applin who's came in, and it was good to see him get some minutes the other day as well. And he's a good young player that again was at Newcastle United and got an injury, unfortunately, but has a point to prove.
Yeah.
And I think suddenly if you have players on the pitch that have a point to prove, they're going to go and work harder than other people. And ultimately, we know that in this league, that's a big part of it. You have to go and outwork them to get the right to play. Yeah. So if you have players like that on the pitch, I think it makes Mike and Busted's job easier, doesn't it? Because they've got that motivation from themselves.
So are you recruiting all age groups up to the under-18s now, are you?
Yeah, so it's been a bit 100 mile an hour, Mickey, to be honest, where we put out, obviously, on the website, on the post, about a bit of an expression of interest from under-7s to under-16s, then at under-16s, just like how we would normally do it. We're going to do things properly, where you'd be offered a scholarship to come in to the 17s, 18s, 19s, and then, obviously, we would hope that the progression pathway would be to go to the first team. But then we had a meeting last week about it. And I think even if it doesn't work out in the first team, I think it's what are we doing for them and what's the exit strategy? Because it's all well and good shaking hands and going, thank you very much for everything. But then, Dave, you've just hit the nail on the head. What if then in 4 years' time they progress and they mature a bit more and then they're a player and we want them back? So it's having that exit strategy, isn't it, where they might go, like Ryan, for example, I'm just using Ryan who's went and played at West Allotment tonight. Do you know what, Ry? You mightn't be good enough for the first team at the minute, and I'm not saying he is, I'm just using him as an example. But you're going to go and play at West Allotment and go and get some minutes under your belt. And a year later, I might be. Great, would love to have you in the club. So that's the relationship we have. And ultimately, we're trying to develop people, aren't we? As well as footballers, especially at young age.
I've got a 6-year-old daughter who could probably kick lumps out of half the National League North because she kicks lumps out of me. So I'm sure Mike and Buster are going to sign her up next season. But Kane... thank you very much for joining us and letting us know what's entailed in your job, and good luck for the future.
Perfect, thank you very much, and it was lovely speaking to you both.
Cheers, thank you.
What a pleasure, as always, man.
Bye.
Take care, bud.
Well, that was Kay in there, and obviously want to put a few things straight because there was a few comments online. People, what we got a recruitment manager for? But when you look at what Gateshead's trying to set up at the moment, and it's the whole picture, not someone's signing the players for Mike Williamson. It's not that. We know that. And so it was nice to speak to Kay, and I wish him all the best. And
I'll tell you what, he's got a big undertaking because from where we're starting, mm-hmm. where they want to be, that is a massive undertaking, and I wish them all the best.
Well, remember, it's a long-term project. He seems young, he seems hungry, he's enthusiastic, and look, we've been lucky that Nelson came into the club this year. We picked up Danny Greenfield, academies don't always produce players year on year out. Look at, you know, let's look at Manchester United. They had the class of 92 and then it's drips and drabs. You know, you're going to get a player here. You may get a group of players come through at once, but it's that continuous rotation, working with players and keeping it going and selling the club to players ultimately, you know, and as you said, they're getting players with the right mentality.
Well, that's it. But like we've already said, you've got so many pushed up through the leagues. Yeah, some made it come. I guess Tom White's back in the National League, but he's been to Barry.
Yeah,
and he's at Bolton. John Mellish at Carlisle. There's the list endless. You know the list. I know the list. That you can just you see. We've got two clubs.
Not only
you're
that,
see, well, look, how are you? We've got this. We've got this. This has gone. This one's gone up. This one's gone up. That's got to sell.
Not only that, the amount of loan players that have come out. Look at CJ Hamilton at the minute at Blackpool.
Yeah,
he is a very young winger. You know, very fast and entertaining. Got the odd goal, and at Blackpool, he's lighting it up. They love him there. You know, so it works on so many different levels. If other clubs, higher level clubs, see us developing players and working with players, they're not going to be too. I'm trying to think of the word. They're not going to be too shy in sending a player that they want to continue in his development at the club. You know,
you just got to look at Jake and Josh from Rotherham.
Yeah.
Got a start.
Definitely.
Dead good management is always praising us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, say Kane gets in touch with the lads at Dead Good Management. Say you got a player for her. They'll break their neck to get one here because of the way Jake and Josh were treated.
Yeah, well, of course, Josh has went on to international football since being at Gateshead. He's under 20 national for Ireland and scoring goals for Carlisle.
Nelson Ogbia will come on the podcast 2 weeks later. He's going to trial at Sunderland. Kane's only coming here so he can get the Man United job.
That's what we should start taking the percentage here. That's what we're really
we need an agent, Dave.
Heed Army podcast. It's the Heed Army agency now. Jasmine will be in the USA squad next week, if anything's to go by. But no, if anyone.
I tell you if it happens, if it's dark forces in nature somewhere.
There certainly is. We signed our soul to the devil to help push guests to wherever they want to be. We stay here. We don't go any further. We don't get on Talk Sport. But we're going to play little message on what to do with the show, and if you'd like to message us, you can even ring us as well when we come back. We'll stay on for a little bit more if anyone wants to have their say on the National League, and this is what you should be doing.
Hello everybody, remember to like and subscribe and share the show.
There we go, Sophia, the one with the vicious tackle, who I was selling to Kane there as a future prospect for the first team. No, she'll get in the men's team. Her, I tell you, she was that rough. black and blue. Right, you can call us on the show there if you'd like to have your say on the National League. Say it's just a fiasco. We'll stay on for another 5 minutes longer if we get a call. A massive thank you to Jasmine Badillo for joining us as well, and we hope that she has a fantastic time once she eventually gets in a Gateshead shirt and hopefully gets amongst the goals with Alicia and the rest of the girls. And big thank you to Mickey Gray as well for joining us, and Kane as well. And we're probably going to snip up bits of interviews and put them up on social media as well, so please do share. The show is going up in views and listens, and we can only say thank you to everybody for doing and sharing the show. It's just what we want to reach more Gateshead fans and hopefully entice more people to be Gateshead fans. And as I say, we had the people, Jasmine's relatives from Texas, sign in there and send a message, which is fantastic. So keep that. Yep. So as it says at the bottom here, like us on Heed Army Podcast Live Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel, because it will help us. We want to be able to change our URL. It's nothing to do with money. We don't get that amount of views, but we want to be able to change the URL, Heed Army Podcast, Yep.
I reckon the Texas branch should be getting Gateshead gear.
We've got a call. Hello, welcome to the Heed Army podcast.
Hello, how are you?
Hello there, Jack. It's Jack.
Jack.
Hello, how are you lot?
All the better for hearing you, mate.
All the better for hearing you, bro. I am frustrated with the whole National League situation. How is it for you?
Yeah, it's been... past few days have been all right. Weather's been on our side, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
I'm back to playing football. Got my first game Saturday.
Oh, good, good. You'll have to let us know how you get on. But Jack, well, we've got you on the phone. Of course, you're a Brackley fan, if anyone listening doesn't know. A friend of the show. But obviously, we've seen what's happened to Dover. We've seen the fines going around the National League North and the South.
Jumbled.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Give us your take on it, because we've had a bit of a rant on it, and I've went around the houses to make me points, but I'll let you have your say.
I just don't really know what to say, to be honest. It's a complete shambles. I don't understand how you can fine people if the season being declared null and void.
and deduct points, yeah.
When they haven't got money coming in.
For example, I think I saw the other day, Curzon, I think it was Curzon anyway, they've been fined about £4,000 and minus 2 point deduction from in.
Yeah.
I'm just like... But for example, Dover in a bad place at the moment.
I mean, they weren't even going to start the season. They were going to play with kids at one point before the funding thing was announced, like 5 days before the season was going to start. So they were in a really bad place. Their chairman.
I don't think Dover Athletic will be a club by come August.
Yeah, it's looking very.
That's my opinion. I don't know if any Dover fans want to listen in. That's my opinion on it.
I
hope that doesn't come to fruition. To be fair, for all them Dover fans, I really hope that doesn't happen.
I wish it was no one as well. No. Maybe York, but we're going. Yeah. We don't get that detail.
we'll agree on that one, but
I don't wish on anyone.
I mean, obviously, when we spoke to you before the vote for to declare null and void the league, you said Brackley wanted to continue. Obviously, Gateshead didn't, and the other clubs.
We did want to continue. Then we looked at it and they sat down and went, let's look after our club.
Yeah.
It's
a sensible thing to do, but when we look at I don't know if you heard the interview with the Dover chairman that he gave on BBC Radio.
I heard bits of it, yeah.
And, there was obviously the whole show, he said there's two sides to every story. He sounds a very passionate man. He's not in it to make money. He's trying to keep a club afloat. And for them to turn round, give them a point deduction for next season, so that's already putting handcuffs on them. They were really struggling to play players, and they're giving them a £40,000 fine on top of that. Then they're going to have to go through legal fees to try and defend that. Yeah, it's...
Surely there can be an appeal to that.
He said he's going to appeal and they're going to take legal action, whether or not they can get free legal help or a friend of the club that can provide that for them, because that'll cost...
loads.
As you say, you can understand because Mickey touched on it before, the frustration of other clubs that have had who are having to carry on paying to finish the season, whereas Dover have just closed shop. So you can see the frustration on that side. But
if you look at King's Lynn, let's look at King's Lynn, for example. Their chairman came out and said, King's Lynn can't finish the season. And then this last week, King's Lynn went to Brackley Town and bought our centre mid, who probably cost, I don't want to say it, but probably on about £1,500 at Brackley.
Mm-hmm.
How can they afford him?
Yeah.
How can King's Lynn turn around to their striker? Who is it? Marrett, is it? The really good striker. How can you turn around to him?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to furlough you, but we're going to buy a Brackley Town player who get paid £4,500 a week.
Exactly, and that's what the Dover chairman touched on. That's got to be against the furlough rules. I don't know if you've watched the whole show. I said before, it's like someone that ran.
No, I've not watched that.
If someone ran a plumbing company and had a plumber on £750 a week and went, "I'm going to furlough you, but bring in someone else and pay them £250," that is against the furlough rules. If you can't afford to pay someone to do the job, then the job doesn't get done. That's why they're on furlough. So why bring in another player to do that job? Surely that's against furlough rules. I'm not fully legally, I'm not a legal mind, but from what you understand of what the furlough was, what was put out in the press, then surely there's a lot of football clubs in the National League of maybe the dancing on dangerous territory.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen, Step Three, Natural League, North, South, have you seen the, what's gone out for, what are they called, Scouts?
Yeah, yeah, it's,
York City, £13,000.
Yeah, there's been a lot of things, when I can't remember, there was one club I paid 120 grand out in, I mistakenly said AFC failed, but it's folding it as well.
Mm-hmm. How can people afford that? They're saying that they can't afford money and they can't afford players, but they're doing that.
Yeah, that's the hypocrisy of it all. It's in a few different places. There's a hypocrisy of, yes, we can afford to continue to finish the season, but hang on a second, we're going to furlough all our staff. But we have managed to pay out all that on scouting and agents in the past 12 months. It, you know, and then, then you look at York, who are, that we mentioned before, were dying to get up. And but they made over a £2 million loss. I know they're moving stadium and things like that, so that could be in
there. Brighton made profit last year.
Yeah, which is fantastic for a club at this level.
We made, I'll have to find it and send it to you, because I can't remember what I've made, but I'll find it and send it to you. But we made profit.
Yeah.
It's quite a good profit last year. Considering we had lockdown.
Mm-hmm. As I say, yeah,
that, as well.
Sorry, Miggy.
Didn't Brackley have the cup run as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is, so, you know, at least there's some silver linings for some clubs to take away from this season. But I still can't get my head over, I mean, obviously we named the title of this podcast, you know, they might govern us, but they don't represent us. And it does feel like they aren't representing the members of the league that well.
What do you reckon will happen to the National League now then?
I don't know.
I hope they get raised to the ground, personally.
Yeah, the problem is, if they remove this, if there's a null and void, it removes the stature of the league somewhat. In my opinion, does the FA take over and run the league for a season until someone comes in, or does the league get restructured? Does it get taken into the football league? Does it become like a part of that and a feeder league, like it already is, but just under the EFL? Or is there a new association brought up? It's hard to say because you don't know what happens with a null and void vote. If there's a vote of no confidence, does that mean there's a whole new board voted in and then new rules are brought in for the new season, but that doesn't give much time? Or is it a case of the new board comes in or new chairman, whatever, and then things are gradually introduced? I don't know. You see, that's the problem. We don't know much about our governing bodies, do we, really? And this is the sad thing when things like this have happened. I know you can't guarantee this. You couldn't have foreseen this to happen, but it's brought out all the shortcomings in the National League.
Well, apparently... Yeah. Sorry, Jack, can I just come in there?
Yeah.
Apparently... all those that are going to appeal are going to have to appeal to an independent party. It's not going to be the National League committee that are doing the appeals. Apparently, it's a completely different, completely unbiased set of people who they've got to sit in front of for the appeals. Mm-hmm. But the National League have still got to state their case to them. So the National League are going to put at least 50% of their argument to these independent people before the other ones walk in the door. Where's the fairness in that?
Trump, there's no fairness, is there?
No, it's very disappointing, and we seem to be, we always think there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, yet here we are again, a couple of months down the line, and we're still shaking our heads at the National League. You know,
I feel sorry for the bloke who's took over from it.
Is it
Mark Yates or Eves or?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he's called, he's had to take over that shit show. God bless him.
But then again, he could have stood up and said, "Look, we're going to make changes here. There's been wrongs, and we're going to make them right." That could, there's the way he could have firefighted this, And there's been
time for him to do it, David.
There is, but there's been a lot of silence. Maybe he's thinking, right, we'll just get the season out the way, then we'll address it. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of members of the National League, the clubs are disgruntled with the treatment, whether it be on the side of the clubs that wanted to look after the clubs or the teams that wanted to continue the season. So there's fires to fight in all different areas of the National League.
There's a lot to think about.
It certainly is, and it's a headache. I wouldn't want it. I mean, we can you know, sit here and talk about it, but then again, after we'll go off air, we can go and sit down, have a cup of tea and watch a telly. Whereas tomorrow, we don't have to have it hanging on our heads like, they say, is it Mark Yates or Yves who's the new chairman? But we're just not hearing enough, in my opinion, coming out to defend themselves.
The only time you hear things is when the fines come.
Mm-hmm. And then... I might be wrong, but didn't some clubs only find out about the fines on social media? I might be wrong on that.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, so it's just an absolute mess.
Crazy, isn't it?
Let's look at the good news. Football's back for some people.
It certainly is.
So I was on when that girl was on. Gateshead Ladies are back Sunday, did you say?
Yeah, they're back on.
Not that we can go and watch it, Jack.
Are you not allowed to go
No, it's been closed doors. But
it's been closed doors, and you're not supposed to travel X amount of miles. You've got to stay local.
Yeah, hopefully, though, they can continue the great run. They're in chance for winning the league. They are top at the moment. And I know before this other lockdown happened, there was a chance of them actually playing at Gateshead International Stadium for the final game. For fans, whether that game can still go ahead if they are in contention for promotion, of course. But it would be nice if Gator fans get to see something at the end of the season if that option is available.
Did you see the FA Trophy at the weekend?
I didn't know, but two great results, wasn't it?
Hornchurch and Hereford, didn't it, in the final?
Yeah.
I'm just hopeful that the fans get to go to the final. It's on the same
day. Maybe involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the double one for you lot. So 2020 FA Vars and FA Trophy final have got no fans yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the FA Cup and that lot have got fans. What's the difference between that then?
Well, surely you would think it would be a better test to have fewer fans for the smaller clubs at Wembley to see how it works and get everything in place.
But then fans are now back in for the 2021 Trophy final. There's only 12 days apart.
No, it's because obviously, the FA Vars final is two North East clubs. It's Heaven, who's just along the River Tyne from Gateshead, only just a couple of miles away. And then there's Concerts, which isn't too far away, just over the border in Durham. So got a feel for those two clubs who have waited a year to play their Wembley final and to not be able to be there is devastating, really, isn't it?
Gutting for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
Absolutely. Imagine getting... Like, you were going to the FA Trophy final, wasn't it, Jack?
Yeah, went there, yeah.
Yeah, and we went in the playoff final. Imagine someone had turned to us and says, by the way, lads, we're playing at Wembley, but you just can't gone.
Yeah.
It'd be heartbreaking. I wouldn't...
You need a big ladder to look at
what
Wembley.
I was speaking to Mark Carruthers. I'm sure he won't remind us saying this, but he had to apply to get, because obviously he covers both clubs for the North East Non-League scene and for two different Sunderland Echo and for the Chronicle side of things in that media group.
Yeah,
he has had to apply to get a media pass to go there, and he still, when I spoke to him last, he still hadn't got the clarification yet that he was going. So it's not just fans, you know. I'm sure he will get to go because he's very well respected and stuff. But you know, it just shows you the extent of everything at the moment. It's not as cut and dry as people being able to go and report on the game at a massive stadium where it's completely safe to have 100 people in, probably thousands. 90,000
feet of stadium, you can't have 400 people.
Yeah, so it's...
There's better days ahead, I reckon, with the weather getting nice.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, I know we talk about it, it must be a gutter for them, but if we can wait just a couple more months and if everything does open up, like they say in, is it June 21st or something, where we're back to normal, then I'd rather wait than, you know, jump in too early and have to, you know,
be I'd back in the wait, situation. Get some things open first and see how it is and play from there, but...
Let's and then see. Next season we're going to have a proper chat with Jack.
Yeah, I know, we can talk about football. Can you imagine it, Jack?
I might have to do Gated again. When I first came up, I did say never doing it again.
Yeah,
too cold. We lost 2-0, 3-0. I don't think the journey back was horrible, and I said, look, never doing Gated again, but I'll have to do it again.
Yeah, well, hopefully you either get us at the beginning of the season or the end of the season, then it can be a nice warmer trip for you.
Gates has never won. What are you talking about?
Shut up, man.
Yeah, big soft southern tart.
even if I come up in August, I'll have to wear a woolly hat.
Mind you, I'm not going to. It is cold at Gates International Stadium. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I always know because the wind blows off the time.
I once made the mistake in a heat wave. We played, I think it was Newcastle in a pre season friendly, and I wore shorts. And I was freezing. I was shivering. Sam Pennant's, but I think the National League needs a big restructure. I feel sorry for Dover in particular. 40,000 fine. I agree with you guys. The National League isn't fit for purpose. And
they're not fit to run it.
I mean, look, we're only seeing the bad things. Obviously, the league runs without a hitch. Normally, they have the promotion, they have the big grand case final. Yeah. They do some things right. Let's not, you know, completely throw them under the bus. But
only 1% they do fuck good. Yeah, 99%. Yeah,
but you know, we need to be seeing them standing tall and standing strong on situations like this, and we just haven't seen that.
They need to put something in place. They need to put regulations in place, a financial, not bailing clubs out, but if clubs are really struggling, to come in and say, how can we help? Not find them, not discouraging them, saying, we know you're under. I mean, if it's someone like what we had, by no fault of the fans, as the two people who were running Gated Football Club at the time were clueless.
Yeah,
we deserve what we got. The fans and the club didn't, but they deserved it. But we carried the can.
Yeah,
Jim Common has got a modicum of common sense, and he's getting absolutely panned for it by the National League. The need to help, not drag their feet on every bloody decision they've made.
Well, Dover have been very transparent. Even before the season started, they were like, look, we're going to struggle here. Then the financial help was put in place. We were all sold the story of that it'll be funding grants throughout the season. And then he was on the board of directors as well. He resigned because he said they were breaking their own rules, which of course they are. Before you have to put a bond down before the season starts, you have to show that you can finish the season. Yes, we're in extraordinary circumstances, but for them to go against their own rules and say, well, hang on a second, if you can't get a grant, take a loan.
Yeah.
Now, if Gated or Brackley had took a loan in November, any time for a normal league season, that would have been point deduction and a big fine. I think that's where people are getting disgruntled and very, very angry with them, and it just is. But Jack, I'm gonna wrap it up now. We've went an hour and a half tonight. We've had a good.
I think I'll have to go and lie in a dog and room.
Yeah, I think I am. I'm gonna try and finish off this massive bit of Easter egg with the chocolate crispy in the middle. Hopefully, it's I don't know if you want to. I nearly broke my teeth, but next week I will have diabetes, so we can talk about. Jack, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
You too. Thanks, Jack.
All the best, Jack. Happy Easter, bud.
Goodbye. There we go, Jack, the Brackley fan. Always good to talk to him. Hopefully, we can talk about a league game. That would be good, wouldn't it? We've went an hour and a half tonight. Thank you, everyone, that stuck with us. We've had a bit of a rant. We've meandered down dark alleys to get to our point. Hopefully we made sense. Let's say next week, hopefully we'll have more news to talk about from the club. Hopefully, you never know, we might have players signing. Hopefully we'll find re-signing on, because I can't sign players at the moment because players' contracts are still up until the end of May or June. But who knows, we might have a retain list soon. We've seen York did theirs very recently, Scott Barrow staying on there for another season along with another few players. So we'll find out what's happening. Also, who knows, we might get to watch Nelson Ogbui playing in the under 23 Premier League for Sunderland. If we find a stream for that, we will share it. So keep an eye out for that and you'll see how young Nelson gets on. And
we wish him well.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say once again, big thank you to everyone that's been on the show tonight, to Cian Weirs, Jasmine Badillo, and to
Badillo.
I wish I had a name like Badillo to be better than Gaddis. Anyway, I think people next week, I'm going to come on with a full on different name. I might even just change it.
You've been called a few different names in your time, matey.
By my wife.
All that, in the name of love.
Or if I've made a mistake. Anyway, Mickey, it's been a pleasure as ever, and we'll end there. And we'll.
Before we're gone, Davey. Good luck, gated women, gated ladies.
And keep pushing for that promotion spot. But this is what you should do with the show, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, everybody. Remember to like and subscribe and share the show.